welcome everyone to Good Night and Good Game, your source for geek news for the week that was. I'm your host, James, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Hector.
Hello.
This week on the show, we are going to discuss some of the nerdy things that are coming out in 2024 that we are excited about. Before we start, don't forget that you head over to goodnight.gg, where as a patron of our show, you can suggest topics for us to talk about. Also, as a patron, you get access to our off-week episodes. And with all that out of the way, let's get hyped for 2024.
2024.
All right, this is our hype list. We do this every year. It's a nice way to kind of ring in the new year for the show. We have a list in front of us of things that are coming out in nerd pop culture. We're doing it in no specific order. We can't touch on everything, but we just want to jump in and tell you, have you be aware of some of the things that are coming out this year that we're super excited about. Hector, start us off.
Oh, man, how do I start us off? Let's see. Movies, TV, or video games? Let's see. You know what I'm going to start with? I'm going to start with the last movie trailer I saw that made me go, oh, damn. Yeah, I need to see that. And that was a movie I'm looking forward to here next year called Civil War. That's a new Alex Garland movie.
Tell me about it.
This is a movie ostensibly in which, and this is just a trailer, and Garland movies tend to like move away from the trailers a little bit. They tend to be a bit of a... bit of a red herring, maybe not so much in this case, but in other cases, so. But what I'm saying, the movie's about a civil war happening in America in modern day. Basically, from what I understand, Texas and California band together and decide to attack the rest of the U.S. And it's about a group of journalists who are like basically walking and hitching rides and like the last of us-ing from state to state. In between while this war is going on, moving through conflict zones, through quiet zones, but all within the United States. It looks like there's a pretty very decent budget for it. And all the acting I've seen in the trailer looks incredible. I'm really into it.
Sounds great. When about is that supposed to come out, do you think?
I will tell you right now. Civil War, the 2024 film, directed by Garland, is set to release April 26th.
Nice. So my first thing is going to be a movie as well. This was one that I actually found out about today. There is a movie coming out in, I think, around April-ish called Horoscope. Now, when I saw this name, I had a very distinct memory pop into my head. If you were a bookworm as a kid, you get these vibes sometimes. Sometimes maybe there's a book you haven't read, but you've seen the cover to it 1,000 times. And Horoscope happened to be a book that was on that my grandmother owned that I never read. And I could picture the book cover in my head, and I was like, is it just a coincidence? Did somebody adapt the book? Yes, this is absolutely an adaptation of a 1990 horror book in which a very much Final Destination style, but obviously this way predates Final Destination. A bunch of kids go and get like their horoscopes read, and they all start dying based on the horoscopes that they were given. Is the premise of it.
Okay,
that's the premise of the book, and that's the premise of the movie. It's got Final Destination vibes. I'm all about that kind of stuff. We haven't really had a Final Destination movie in a long time. I think this is going to kind of fill that gap for me. So I'm really excited about this one.
Right on. Yeah, I'm just going to keep looking down my list and call out things that excite me when I look at them. And the next one that caught my eye is a video game, Helldivers 2.
Yes, you have been talking this game up to me so much.
So Helldivers was a game, I first played it on the PlayStation 4 way back in the day. It was a very cool top-down twin-stick shooter-style game that also... complemented itself with a lot of realism. Basically, the premise was Starship Troopers. You were human soldiers landing on alien planets, dropping in with all your gear and doing a mission, right? And it was usually a squad of up to three. So the deal was friendly fire was always active. And remember, it's a twin stick shooter and it's top down. So while you had, so it's not like, you know, you accidentally shot your teammate because you were being careless. No, you were just pointing at that part of the screen.
Right.
That's how careful and aware you have to be of all your teammates. Plus, everything you call in for help drops from orbit. And if it falls on you or your friends, they die. So, like, you need to be completely aware of the battlefield at all times in order to be effective at this game. So, we got to see a trailer earlier this year for Helldivers 2, and they went from top down to third person, but everything else seems completely intact, and it looks just like more graphics, more in-depth action version of the game that I loved, and it's still like a squad, a night out with the boys dropping into alien planets and shooting some bugs. I can't wait. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. Let's see. For me, let's see. What do we have? You know what? I want to start with something that's coming out very close to now, actually. Echo is coming onto Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Within days. So within
the week. I think it's like on the 10th and it's the 4th.
Yeah. So like Echo's coming out. It is, of course, a spinoff of the Hawkeye series, which I did actually rewatch for Christmas.
It's holds a Christmas
up.
Story.
It holds up. It's really good.
Yeah, it's funny.
We know that Charlie Cox is going to be reprising his role as Daredevil. We possibly will see the Kingpin again, given he's such a big part of her story.
Hell yeah.
Everything that I've heard about this just from like insiders talking about it online, they're saying that like, look forward to this one. They're saying like, you know, Disney's, this isn't a Secret Invasion. This is like true to form, really good, like Marvel Disney Plus.
Oh, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that show. And sticking with shows, I think the thing I'm most excited for that is supposed to come out this next year, although we don't have a solid date yet, I don't think, Arcane season 2.
Right. Yeah, I need to watch season 1.
Arcane is this really, really incredible animated show released on Netflix, who is known for incredible animated shows, most recently Blue Eye Samurai. Like pretty much all of the best animation right now is coming out of Netflix, which is
weird,
mind-blowing to talk about, because that used to be just Pixar and Ghibli for decades.
Let's take a moment here to celebrate the fact that we are getting more quote-unquote adult animation.
Oh yeah,
like absolutely. Like animation, adult animation used to be relegated to, oh, I watch anime, and people saying, oh, you watch that weird Japanese stuff.
Right. Like, I either watched anime in the 90s and it was very adult, or it's all comedy. Like, you're watching The Simpsons or Adult Swim or something, right?
And so there was never this middle ground for it. And we're finding this new thing with things like Arcane coming out, where we have more adult animated content. Guillermo del Toro, we often quote this on the show, said, you know, it's about time that animation is being
Animation being treated as not genre, but cinematography, with the ability to tell better stories this way. You know what I mean? And Arcane, one of the most beautifully animated shows ever made. Like, just top-notch stuff that I had not seen before. Just beautiful visuals and stills and incredibly smooth, crisp action. Never failing. It all looks like it was painted with a brush. It's just gorgeous. And, I cannot wait for season 2. I would put this right up there next to Spider-Verse as the best animation we have today. It's amazing. And the story was no slouch either. This is a story based on the League of Legends universe. Think about how silly and badly that could have gone.
It's very true.
I wouldn't call it a video game adaptation because that's not necessarily what it is. It is more of a Tales From sort of story in this way. But by God, is it a good that.
But that's the thing that Riot's doing so well right now is they are taking their one big property, which is League of Legends, and they are beginning to really push the story aspect of it, because it is ostensibly just a MOBA game that had the loosest part of a story. It's based around the game itself.
Yeah.
Much like a beloved property of ours, Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And because of things like Arcane, people are looking to people like Blizzard and saying, hey, poking it with a stick.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing this with Overwatch?
Right.
Like, we will throw money at you if you will do this with Overwatch.
And the thing is, you know they're hungry for it because sometimes they do. And they'll just do, like, here's a really great, like, 15-minute story. You know? And you're like, why don't you do this more? People would pay you for it. People would tune into it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think that before I'm saying it on air right now, before season 2 hits, because you have been recommending it so much, I will sit down and actually watch season 1.
You absolutely should. And right after that, Blue Eye Samurai.
Yeah.
You know, Like as these shows, realize I praise these shows more than I do the Castlevania shows. And I love the Castlevania shows. Right. Like, they're just top-notch stuff. It's just adult content we've never really gotten before. It's very cool.
I'll tell you what. I want to keep the animation train rolling.
Let's
We're
going to
keep talking about Netflix. Something that's coming out this year that I'm excited about is Powerhouse Animation Studio, based here in Austin. I know a couple of people who work for them. And they are going to be releasing on Netflix a new series called Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft. So Powerhouse Animation, who did Castlevania, doing Tomb Raider with Hayley Atwell playing Lara Croft.
Yeah, that's just the most perfect casting I've ever seen. Even if it was live action, it wouldn't be off.
Right.
But like, as a voice actress, dude, home fucking run. I can't think of anyone better. Like, that nobody else in my mind sounds like Lara Croft. Like straight up. Like, she does. She
right.
just does. It's perfect.
Yeah, but I'm super excited about that. So yeah, I've never once in my life said I'm excited for something Tomb Raider, maybe the Tomb Raider reboot. But yeah, this animation done by Powerhouse with Hayley Atwell at the helm of it, like,
yeah
this is perfect. Beautiful. Fucking sign me
yeah.
up.
Yeah, fucking chef's kiss. All the pieces came together, you know, when it comes to something like
that. I honestly, and I will say, I know nothing about the series. I'm hoping, I know that we really loved the gritty reboot that came out, you know, 10 plus years ago. I kind of do miss the really fun, silly days of Tomb Raider, like when she would shoot a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some of that. I don't know.
It'd be fun if she shot at least one dinosaur. Right. I mean, considering if she finds a dinosaur, it might be the last.
Yeah. That's what you did. You, literally in the first game, you go underground, find like the last T-Rex, and the first thing you do with it is just like gun it down.
Shoot it right in the fucking face because it was hungry.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. All right. I'm going to move up to movies for my next pick.
What do you got?
Because I looked at one and I thought, well, obviously we're going to mention this one first. Furiosa.
Oh, I was waiting for you to pick it.
Furiosa.
Did you watch the trailer yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw it in theaters, thankfully. I saw the trailer come out on YouTube. I was like, no need. I'll see it eventually.
That's right. We saw it the last time we went to the movies.
Yeah, I'll see it on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And I did. And like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Furiosa. Man.
I'm so ready.
I'm glad that they just give George Miller money to do things.
You know, I think Mad Max Fury Road is the first movie I ever took you to.
It might have been, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah, because that was just a big group of us from HP.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm so excited about Furiosa.
Oh, God.
The idea of it being a prequel, a lot of times that makes people shudder.
Mm-hmm.
But every still of the prequel like trailer that we saw, was, I looked at every shot of that and my brain went, A, I want to see this, and B, I can't wait to watch the black and white version.
Right? Yeah. Like. Just from the saturation to the contrast, like it's just, oh.
Yeah. Another movie that we did see that is getting a sequel this year, Dune Part 2.
Dune 2. I mean, what can you say except, opening weekend, maybe opening day. Maybe I'll take the day off.
Like,
fuck, man. Like,
we're just going to tell work, like, hey, guys, we're just going
to. Yeah, but it's Dune 2, guys. Like, fuck off. It's Denis Villeneuve made a new movie. Expect me to be gone because I'm going to be at the theater watching it.
If you weren't listening to the show around the time that we went and saw Dune Part 1, as kind of a brief recap, I have tried multiple times through my life to get into Dune. I am a nerd who is surrounded in nerd culture and nerd friends, and a lot of them really love Dune. And every time I picked up Dune to read it, not to make it a pun, but it's a really dry book. Frank Herbert is a very dry writer, and I would get to a point where a dude would put a hand in a box and I would fall asleep and like I was done. And I tried like three times. Like I tried three different times to read this book and I just can't fucking do it. And then we went to go see, you were like, please let's go see it. It's Villeneuve. And you're going to, I know that this is going to be the one. And I even tried to watch the 80s movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Like, that one's it's a little rough. It's charming in its own way.
I was like 14 when I tried to watch it. So like it was a little rough around the edges. But going to see Dune Part 1, I watched it and I was finally like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Now I get what everybody loves about this. And I'm actually more willing to like listen to it on audiobook or something now because now I get it. Now it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now the world connects with me and I'm not just reading this really dry fucking book. Like everything that they brought about this movie, I'm stupidly excited for. And I'm happy to be able to participate in a piece of geek pop culture that I haven't been able to up until this point.
Yeah. I'm sorry I giggled. It's funny that you call it dry considering it takes place on Arrakis and there's no water. It's good. It's good. All right. We're moving up to video games for a second because we haven't really done any yet.
Yeah.
Except for Helldivers 2. I'm going to talk about one we have very little info on. Mm-hmm. And we're not even 100% sure that it's going to come out next year. But we're pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Because from what we saw of it, I'm pretty excited. And I'm in this kind of mood. Star Wars Outlaws.
Oh, God, please.
Yeah.
I want this game in my face.
Yeah.
In my face.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you all saw the like extended gameplay bit on Star Wars Outlaws earlier this year, but this looks like exactly what I want in a Star Wars video game. Like, come on. You know, like give me an open world, but also like Jedi Survivor, like graphical quality, you know, story of scoundrels and like how to really do it correctly. How to set yourself in that universe.
I say this all the time on the show. I say that I love Star Wars, but occasionally, more often than not, I really want more Star Wars stories that are not about people with fucking lightsabers.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's what this game is. Mm-hmm. It is, you are playing this outlaw, this Han Solo adjacent type. It's not about people with the laser swords. Don't get me wrong. I love a good laser sword.
Yep.
But so much of the movie is so centered around Jedi and so much of the prequel stuff is centered around Jedi. I'm like, but I want to know what the rest of the world is. There were a lot of people that gave the Book of Boba Fett a lot of shit because they're like, oh, we're going to make fun of it because, you know, Space Vespas. And it's like, but that was really fun. That told me something. That entire episode told me about a group of people who actually were cyberpunks that actually modified their bodies, not because of a limb being chopped off, because they wanted to.
Yeah. How fucking dare, you know, some writer give Tatooine culture.
Right.
Like Jesus Christ, right? Like, you mean there's a lowrider gang on Tatooine? How have I never known this? This planet was so fucking milquetoast and boring until now. I bet you those guys have moms that make excellent food.
Right.
Like, tell me about that on Tatooine.
Tell me about the fucking tamales that are made on Tatooine excited.
So I feel like we're on a bit of a roll and I want to stay in Star Wars as next year goes. And I want to talk about the thing I'm most excited for Star Wars next year. Mm-hmm. There is a Disney Plus show coming out called Star Wars The Acolyte.
Yes.
That is set during the High Republic era.
I'm so excited, especially because we just got done playing Jedi Outcast.
Yeah.
And there is the High Republic robot in there. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about the High Republic, the visual style is so vastly different. The way that I could describe it is like when you picture like Tolkien stuff in your head and like that dwarves carve things a certain way and then elves carve things a certain way. That's what the High Republic is. The High Republic is this like Art Nouveau kind of future.
Right. Yeah, it's completely different. Like if the Republic we see is like almost like brutalist and the High Republic, it looks like fucking Rivendell, you know? Like it's almost like they had their shit figured out a little bit more than we did.
Yep.
So and the point that Patrick Willems made in his Star Wars special this year was that people get really sick of lightsabers because we keep seeing all the same people and all the same families. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, for our entire lives, for me, nearly 40 years, and longer than that because Star Wars came out before I was born, this period has been stuck in this, like, 60-year period. But these aren't the Star Wars. This is, like, a Star War.
Right.
Like, and there's a series of books that is coming out right now that you can look up that are about the High Republic era. And there's nary a Skywalker to be seen. This is like politics and like government and the world building of Star Wars with Jedi that, you know, and Sith and just like neutral force users, just people on the ground trying to like do the thing. And this is what I want in Star Wars stories. Andor was so cool because we didn't really need to touch anything. We just got to live in the universe.
We didn't have to say the word Skywalker once.
Right. We just got to live in a part of the universe and like see what life was like for them. Mm-hmm. That's what made that so cool. So I cannot wait for another slice of that. And as far as Star Wars goes, that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most next year. The second most being the Star Wars Dark Forces remaster.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up next, honestly, is that within like the next month or so, we're getting a remaster of Star Wars Dark Forces. This was a game, like a Windows 95, 98 game that I played back when I was a kid. Star Wars Dark Forces was really cool because in the original Dark Forces game, you weren't playing a Force user. You were just like you. It was a Doom clone.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they were called back then. They weren't called FPSs. Every FPS back in the day was called a Doom clone.
Right.
And so
not a Wolfenstein clone.
Yeah. Weirdly.
Yeah.
Because Doom was a popular game.
Yeah.
And so it was a Doom clone, an FPS game that came out, and it was just you blasting your way through the story of Star Wars. You know, you got to take on. It's interesting because stormtroopers become a little bit scarier when they can actually hit you.
Yeah. Right.
But. This beloved game is getting a remaster. It's coming out the end of February, and I'm excited to play it. Not these days, I don't jump back into older games too often because there's so many cool modern games that are coming out. This is going to be one of those ones that I'm just going to like grab for a weekend, and I'm just going to dive into. I have to. And this is one of those games that I'm very much looking forward to people speedrunning.
Ooh, yeah.
And if there's anything to get excited about this year, understand that a week from now, while we're on our little mini break, AGDQ is going to be happening.
That's true. That's awesome. Yeah, that's very soon. That's like, what, the 15th or something?
Yeah.
The 14th?
And if you've never watched AGDQ before, it is on Twitch. It is a week-long festival of speedrunning. All donations go towards good causes. I believe that AGDQ is the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Right. Yeah, because, Summer's Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah. So this is the Prevent Cancer Foundation, and it will just be people speedrunning your favorite games, games that came out this year, old Nintendo games.
Some games that, everything in between. Games you've never heard of, games for, you know, consoles you've never heard of, or just handheld you've never thought to play.
Yep. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. If you're ever wondered, anybody who watches the show rather than just listening to it, just about 100% of the shirts I wear on the show are GDQ shirts.
Yep.
Like I bought every one of them. Every GDQ, which is twice a year, the Yeti does a run of t-shirts based on the games being run that event. They coordinate it. They do original art. It's all incredible. And every cent that you spend at the Yeti, they donate to the same charity.
Yep. Absolutely. What else you got, Hector? What else have you set up?
So let's say we then do all our superhero stuff and then find everything that's left on our
list. All right. Sounds
right?
Good.
All right. So next thing, while we're doing superheroes for stuff that really gets my goat that I'm looking forward to, The Joker 2.
Yeah?
Yeah. For anyone who watched Joker, I hope you had a good time. The movie was a lot.
I hope you took the right impression out of that movie.
Yeah, I also really hope you didn't come away like the Joker did nothing wrong.
Yeah, please.
Everything the Joker did was wrong.
All of it.
Honestly, I understand being failed by society, and that's a really good motivation to become a villain. I've thought about doing it myself a few times. But the thing is, we don't just randomly kill innocent people.
But the thing is, we actually live in a society.
Yeah, we do live in a society. and if we want to continue doing that, we can't kill everyone who sucks.
Yep.
It's just not in the cards, guys. I'm sorry.
But we are excited for this movie.
But we are excited for this movie because that movie was an absolutely beautiful telling of a Joker origin story brought to screen that no one had really seen before. We've seen bits and pieces, lots of bits and pieces. We've heard the story over and over again. But like to get it this way. Mm-hmm. Was poetic. It was fucking great. Amazing actors across the board. Just money in all the right places. You know, they got the vibe right. The taxi driver of it all.
The way that they really did want to approach a superhero, air quote superhero movie, without making a superhero movie.
Right.
Right. They wanted it to be grounded. They wanted it to be realistic. They wanted to, what would this person be like?
Right. There were scenes of horror in that movie that were genuinely belly laugh funny that would never in a million years have been funny if I didn't know that that character was the Joker.
Right.
And I don't know how else to put that except like that's good fucking writing. Mm-hmm. To watch something horrible and then laugh out loud in front of everybody because something funny happened that you know the Joker planned just because it tickled him.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's God, that's good. That's just good Joker. Joaquin Phoenix gave amazing Joker. Like, I cannot wait.
This one's going to have Lady Gaga in it.
This one has Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. Mm. Name me better casting. I fucking dare you. Outside of Margot Robbie, of course. I would like them both at the same time to do that and other things. Mostly just act as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lady Gaga. Come on. Come on.
Let's see what else is in the superhero box. So there's not a whole lot of Marvel movies coming out this year that are made by Marvel Disney.
Correct.
The ones that are coming out this year are things that are going to be owned by Sony. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Just, you know.
Venom 3 is happening.
Yeah, Venom 3 is happening. I liked 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I didn't like them in the way that I like would recommend them to people or show them to people like when they come over or be like, you know what we should watch right now.
Yeah.
But they were fun.
It's a popcorn movie. Yeah, it's
you know what we recently watched was Aquaman 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I would put that at the exact same level. That was fun to watch. You might put that on a Saturday afternoon when you're bored.
Yeah. I don't find myself like reaching out to try and rewatch those movies, but if somebody hasn't seen it and was interested, I'll be like, willing to sit down and watch it. So yeah, Venom 3. The big one that is coming out, the only Marvel movie that's coming out this year is Deadpool 3.
Deadpool 3.
Yep. They're finally making it.
With two household names.
Yeah.
Like we have a whole Ryan Reynolds mm-hmm. and another whole Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. Plus everyone else that's in that movie that's great.
Yeah, we don't even know who all is in it. They could just pull in anybody at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got my fingers triple crossed for Marina Baccarin and obviously the lady who took care of him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of those actors. Like, I hope they come back. But yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly sold on a Deadpool 3, especially as he begins to enter the MCU, because you know there will be fuckery will abound.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. A million YouTubers out there are making YouTube videos about like, oh God, what is Deadpool 3 going to mean for the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I've already said it before on the show. It's not going to mean shit. Like literally, he's going to be he's going to be a brief cameo in the MCU and then that's it.
Yeah.
This is the end of Deadpool. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's jokes. Like unless it's incredibly popular and sways public opinion, it nothing will come of it except like Kevin Feige will say it's canon in a year and people will be like, huh? Right.
And it doesn't mean anything. Right. Kevin Feige this year said all the Marvel like MC projects like that have been done by Sony, that all that stuff, all of it's canon because the multiverse is canon.
Right.
So technically all of it exists.
Right. And so, that's good.
Yeah. Good for that. What else you got, Hector?
All right. So of other superhero stuff, I am super looking forward to The Penguin.
Oh, I forgot that's a thing that's coming out.
The Penguin TV show based on the Penguin from The Batman, which came out last year.
Yep.
Played by Colin Farrell. And if you've seen that movie and you've seen the Penguin in that movie and you've seen Colin Farrell, you're probably like, nuh-uh. Like it's just not him.
Right.
Like you're full of shit. That is not Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. But it's him. Like mm-hmm. that's Colin Farrell. It's fucking wild. Especially like that was the same year we watched Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh God, I know, right?
Right?
Scott, such a good movie.
Like how are those people both Colin Farrell?
Right.
What the fuck? But yeah, The Penguin. I'm so interested because not only did Colin Farrell disappear into that character, but that character was a really good Penguin. Mm-hmm. He was funny. He was sarcastic. He felt like a mob boss, but also like a bit of a, like, you know, weirdo with a bit of a power trip. Like it's great. It's truly great Penguin. And like, I'm glad he's getting a show. I really am.
I went into the Batman movie a little bit skeptical of the Colin Farrell Penguin before I had seen it, because I had actually, I know I'm just putting myself out there, I just got done watching Gotham.
Oh, okay.
And I really loved that interpretation of the Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just a wonderful interpretation. It was very different. It was very flamboyant intentionally. And I really loved that. And what we got was a Penguin that was a little bit closer to our, you know, our big mob hit. You know, hit people and like that. That was fascinating to see the direction they went with it. But God, every moment that he was on screen, he just owned the screen.
Yeah,
I was absolutely super excited about that.
So good.
One of the things that I'm excited for is I'm excited for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Dude, yeah, 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 absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a giant Ghostbusters fan. I don't know if you've listened to any of this show, you know that the Ghostbusters is my favorite movie of all time.
The Lego Ghostbusters firehouse behind me.
Yeah. And I loved Ghostbusters after I teared up during Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
I do not tear up at movies, but I was watching the end of that movie and I got a big sad about it. Mm. And I was so happy about it. And part of it really was that right before the movie came out, I just got done listening to Harold Ramis's daughter's book. That was about growing up with him and working on all that stuff. And the main character in Ghostbusters Afterlife, the young girl, very, very much reminds me of Harold Ramis's daughter. And so I was kind of making that connection when I was watching the movie. Like, this really does feel like she was being written into the story.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, as long as it's not bad, like as long as it's just good, I will be happy. But yeah, if it's anything like Afterlife was, like, please just, yeah, put it in my face. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, they even said that a lot of the old cast is coming back. I didn't even really need that. A lot of the new cast was so good. We knew that this was going to be a little bit more about Winston and him owning the firehouse and getting the respect that he deserved for years.
Exactly.
That poor guy is somebody who was written to this as a side character this whole time, like putting front and center. Please put Winston front and center.
Absolutely. So yeah,
super excited about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Hell yeah. Sticking with movies, two years ago, a movie came out called Bullet Train. It's a very, very, very fun movie that you can see just about any time on a streaming platform, starring Brad Pitt, where he's on a Japanese bullet train and he's an assassin who's like very zen. Very, very good movie. If you haven't seen it, you should. There's a new movie coming out from the director of The Bullet Train, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, called The Fall Guy. And it looks like an incredibly similar action showcase. Cannot wait for that movie. I'm throwing it in here because we're still a little bit on like the superhero front, you know, when it comes to Ghostbusters, and it absolutely goes in there. It's one of those that I can't wait for. Mm-hmm. Should be very cool.
What do I want to talk about? You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about something very sad.
Okay.
I am excited for a little game called Frostpunk 2.
Ooh.
So let's talk about Frostpunk. Frostpunk is a diesel punk of the diesel punk genre, which tends to be around a future that is, you know, think about Dishonored and the way that like oil was such a big thing in them. And Frostpunk, it's really more of coal.
Right.
It's very steampunk adjacent.
Yeah. It's the future because pollution.
You're right. Yeah. So dystopian future is what happens in Frostpunk. We have fucked the world in the original game. Mm-hmm. And what you are given, this takes place in future, just north of future London is where it takes place. And you are given one of the last last groups of human survivors, and you build a base around this giant furnace that is constantly putting coal into it and wood into it. And you're just trying to keep the people warm. And it is a game in which you will make the hardest decisions of your life because there are no good choices.
Right.
Right. One of the first choices that you are given in the game, the original Frostpunk, is do we educate our children at a time in which the population is dying off, or do we put them to work so that we can rebuild civilization faster? Mm. There is no good answer.
No, there's not.
Right. The whole time that you are playing this game, all you are trying to do is keep people alive. Mm-hmm. That is the whole point of it. It is one of the saddest games, one of the hardest games you will ever play. I've talked about this story on the show before. There is a pure fascism route that you can go, and it is probably the easiest path in the game. It's the one where you have complete control over everybody. You say, if you open your mouth, like, you're gunned down in the streets, like, we're going to make civilization work by being fascist. Mm-hmm. And I was so frustrated because I kept losing this game over and over and over and over again. And I was so drunk one night. I'm like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to go full fascist. And before you go full fascist, the game warns you what you're about to do. It's like, you know that there's no turning back from this point. You can't undo the laws that you just made. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I'm drunk and angry. And I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm going to beat the game tonight.
Click through. Like, agree, click through. Sign.
Agree. And when you do that, the color palette of the city that you're building changes. And it's only the one city that you build. You don't build other cities. And these giant red flags start to fly in the air. And at that point, I turned the game off and started a new game. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. Like, seeing the city turned into that fucked me up emotionally. And this is a strategy game. It is a game that you play that has turns and your every decision you make has weight. But the way that the narrative is written so well and the sound effects, do play this game. Don't listen to other stuff. I listen to audiobooks sometimes when I play other games. If you play the original Frostpunk, you can hear the sounds of the wood creaking against the snow. This was made, I want to say it's maybe a Polish studio that made it or a like Norwegian studio that made it. Mm-hmm. They like really got these sound effects and like put them in the game. And so like, you know, you have the every day your people work from certain hours from, you know, 9 to 5. And at the end of the day, somebody rings the bell and you can hear the guy in the background saying it's time, you know, to wrap up your work. And like, it's all part of it. And there's this beautiful haunting score that plays under it. That's a little bit hopeful, but a little bit sad, that kind of adjusts based on the things that are happening in the story. And for me to talk about a game that is ostensibly a strategy game and say that it had provoked an emotional reaction out of me the way that it did. Once a year, I load this game back up, even though I've completed it at least once, because I want to give it another go. I think maybe I can give these virtual people a better life this time because I know more now than I knew then.
Right.
So, yeah, Frostpunk 2, day one. I originally played it because it was on Game Pass. I am absolutely buying it as a day one purchase.
Very cool. Yeah. No, that sounds amazing. Absolutely. Let's see. I'll do a video game with you. Something I'm really looking forward to that is coming out next year. That we can both talk about is Hades 2.
Oh.
Hades 2 is on the schedule.
You mean the bisexual's dream?
Yes.
Because that's what the original Hades was.
Yeah, but like even more now because
he's got a sibling.
The protagonist is female and it's a sibling and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited because the first Hades was a fucking experience. Mm-hmm. A roguelite that you make slow progression in, that just to experience the whole story that you love playing every minute of because the gameplay is phenomenal and interesting. And every run has that effect where like one more run, mm-hmm. run. You know, you can play this game deep into the night without knowing any time has gone by. Mm-hmm. And the story, incredible. And the characters, unique and impactful and wonderful. In a way to where, like, your main villain is one of the best characters in the game. Mm-hmm. Definitely want part two. Soundtrack for the ages.
Oh, absolutely.
Supergiant Games doesn't really miss. They have my favorites and my least favorites, but they don't really miss. And Hades 1 was their best fucking game.
May I point out that in a time, because Supergiant is considered an indie studio.
Indeed. So.
In a time in this last year, not to bring up old shit from 3 weeks ago,
right,
where many people in the games industry are being laid off, many people are not paid what they should be getting paid, they are not being taken care of, Supergiant, as a company, pays their workers extremely fair wage. Mm-hmm. They make them, and I cannot emphasize this enough, they make them take time off. Mm-hmm. They say, you like your managers have noticed you've been working a lot. Go.
Yeah.
Like, go spend time with do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you have the vacation, you go fucking use it.
Yep.
Like, this is a company that cares about people. And if I want nothing out of 2024, it's that if I'm going to be giving companies my money, I want companies that take care of their people.
100% that. Yeah, we're talking about a company that like mandated a massive vacation after they launched a game.
Yep.
A company that will literally not let you work weekends unless you explain yourself why you need
it. And you have to take extra time off if you do. That's right. Yep.
This is how you make excellent video games. And they're doing it so well. They're doing it so right.
They only make one game every 3-4 years, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't complain. Give me 10 studios making a game every 3 to 5 years, and I'm set for life. Yep. There are a lot of video games. Like, right? And you know what? You could give me 100 studios doing that. Mm-hmm. You give me 1,000 studios doing that, and we would still be swimming up to our ears in games.
Yeah.
Like, not the insane, like, 1,000 games a day that get added to Steam now, but you'd still get a lot of video games to play. And they would all be much higher quality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. A reason to praise that and a reason to look forward to Hades 2. A game made by happy people.
Exactly. So, yeah, super excited about Hades 2. One of the things that I'm excited for is, you know, Hector, we spend a lot of time together. You know, we work together. Mm-hmm. We live in the same complex. Yep. We work out together. Yep. We go to the movies all the time. Yeah. We're pretty much around each other. We do a podcast together.
Yeah.
And yet I find myself after work often going, you know what I would like to do after work is maybe play a game with Hector.
Yeah.
And it turns out there is a Warhammer 40K Space Marine game coming out this year.
Fucking A.
That I'm so excited to play with you.
Yeah. Warhammer 40K Space Marine. Let me tell you about the first one. First one came out at a tender age quite a long time ago. A bit of a God of War clone.
I can tell you exactly. It came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because our podcast has been around for about 10 years.
Ah.
And you will never hear it, but we did post it at some point. I went to the Game Developers Conference and interviewed the head of that studio that made Warhammer Space Marine. And we had a great, like, half an hour interview with him talking about how much he loves the franchise and how passionate he was about 40K, which from what I understand shows in the final version of Space Marine.
Absolutely. So Space Marine is a game where you are a Space Marine and you're like, the thing is they're all Master Chief. So like you get to be one of them and you're, you're walking around and all the soldiers are like bowing, falling to their knees, praising you because you are there to save them. You are a 12-foot-tall giant among 6-foot-tall men.
Mm-hmm.
In armor as wide as 3 men with a sword the size of a truck, you know, and a gun that fires bullets the size of, you know, 32-ounce beer cans. You are the Space Marine in Warhammer 40K. And what are you killing? Goblins. Hordes and hordes of fucking orcs.
Tyranids, orcs, everything.
Flowing out of pipes and out of tunnels and just down upon you by the thousands. And the sheer might of your will with your hatred for blasphemers and your love of the Empire, you cleave them all in twain with your mighty sword and your incredible powers. That is who you are. And the sequel is coming out and it has 3-player
co-op.
And it looks gorgeous, and it was recently delayed. And all I gotta say is, boys, you let them cook. Let this game take as long as it needs, because when it comes out, I want it to be amazing.
Yep.
Because all I want is for this game to be great, so I can play it with my friends, and we can have an amazing time as Space Marines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pick something.
That's me. All right. So
we got a few more.
I'm gonna talk about a show that I'm very interested in because of how quirky and interesting it sounds.
All right.
There is a TV show coming out this year. You'll have to forgive me because I've forgotten which streaming service it's going to come out on. But it is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Now, you probably remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie vehicle from not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Probably actually a long fucking time ago. I'm old.
Don't forget the sequel, Nobody.
Yeah. There was that. There was definitely that. Also, Nobody's an incredible movie. You should watch that. Bob Odenkirk.
Woo! Oh, did you watch that?
Doing his best. Just killing it.
He always does his best.
Yeah. But so anyway, Mr. and Mrs. Smith was a movie that came out a long time ago and a property that a lot of people have forgotten. It's how Brad Pitt met Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. It's why they were married for years and adopted children. Like this is that movie. That's this movie's pedigree. And it was a fun action movie about a couple married that were spies, but spies for different agencies, and them finding out that the other were spies, even though they were both in deep cover and expected their spouse not to know. And they were both successful because they were very good spies. So when they find out that the other is a spy, hijinks ensue. Mm-hmm. And it is fun and action-packed and really fucking sexy. It's great. Mm-hmm. All the way around. Good shit. Fun time at the movies, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Again, nobody's thought about it in years because it's a popcorn movie. It's not existential. It won't make you think about your life. It's a movie you'll forget about by the time the Oscars are rolling. So there's a show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, coming out, starring Don Glover. This is such a weird, interesting thing to do, to take the premise of this movie, a spy couple, mm-hmm. and turn it into an interesting TV show about a black couple in America that is working together as a spy couple.
The first big project Donald Glover's worked on since the award-winning series Atlanta.
Atlanta, which you should absolutely watch.
Which is so good.
Yeah, this seems so fucking interesting to me. I can't wait for the first episode. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's going to be a fucking banger.
So I'm super excited about Mr. and Mrs. Smith. There's a movie that I don't know if it's getting a lot of traction right now, and I wish more people would go watch the trailer for it. And it's a movie that I'm actually excited for. Mm-hmm. It's called The American Society of Magical Negroes.
Ah.
It's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
So the idea of this movie, it's a comedy movie where in this world there is a Hogwarts school in America, basically, where a bunch of young like African Americans go to learn magic. Uh-huh. And if you're not familiar with this literary trope of the magical Negro, it's a very...
You can YouTube it and you'll get a sketch by Key and Peele.
Yeah, there you go. You just watch.
It'll teach you everything you need to know about the magical Negro.
Watch YouTubers about this. It's a fascinating topic. Yeah. But somebody took this idea of the magical Negro and said, what if we make it into a whole movie? And the main character is basically, his whole job is to provide magic for his white friends so that they can live the best. So the white people around them could live their best lives. Mm-hmm. But he ends up falling in love with the girl of this person he's set to take care of. Please watch this trailer. Please watch this movie. It has been such a great last few years for great black cinema. Things like The Blackening.
Oh,
these movies that really kind of dive in. Like, thank God for Jordan Peele coming in and really making these great mainstream black movies. Now we're getting this other stuff that's flowing out of that. We are talking that this weekend we're gonna go see movie American Fiction. Oh, I'm so excited about that.
That one looks amazing. Yeah. Jeffrey Wright playing a hilarious character in a comedy show about what it's like to be a black author in America. Yep. It looks all the way funny. Like the funniest.
Super excited about it. But yes, just watch the trailer for the American Society of Magical Negroes, because man, this looks so good. It looks hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, grab me something else, Hector. We got a couple more to go.
All right, couple more to go. I'm going to do two shows I'm really excited about that I don't need to spend a long time on.
Sure.
I want to talk about Shogun. Shogun is a show coming to... Oh, God, I think it's Hulu. But it's coming to a streaming service. And it looks like an incredible show. But what I want to talk about is my relationship to the original show that came out in 1980, starring Richard Chamberlain. It had John Rhys-Davies. These are very young versions of actors we've had for a very long time. It was an incredible show. My dad had the collection. It was on 10 cassettes. I believe the movie was epic in a way that isn't normally done. I believe the movie might have actually been 5.5-6 hours long, maybe longer. It was insane. It came on so many multiple parts. It's wild. But very, very cool, and a part of my childhood, because I've always been a little bit connected to all of that. And I cannot wait for this retelling of that show. It sounds really cool. The last TV show I want to mention for the year that I'm looking forward to is there is a Max show coming out called Dune Prophecy.
Mm.
This is meant as a companion piece to Dune 2. It is a prequel set I believe either thousands or tens of thousands of years before the events of the show, about the Bene Gesserit sisterhood. It seems very, very cool, and I would love for more people to get a little bit of a push into that world before going all the way into Dune, because I know Dune will be streaming and Dune Toon will be in theaters, so there'll be a lot of opportunity to get the whole story at once. So yeah, I am looking forward to that.
All right. Let's see here. For me, I'm excited for X-Men 97 on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
X-Men 97 is the sequel to the best.
One of the best fucking cartoons just of all fucking
good
time.
Good Lord, that theme song. It yeah. just slaps.
Oh, lives rent free in my head.
The fact that they are bringing it back, they're making it a literal sequel to where the show left off. Mm-hmm. Like, this is amazing. Like, yeah. Bringing
wild.
It, like, yeah, you know what? Sometimes nostalgia bait is a thing, and that's where I'm at. I'm like, yeah, please put it in my face.
Like, if they, we've lived through a solid decade of nostalgia bait at this point. Mm. But if they started bringing my favorite cartoons back by picking up where the story's left off, give me X-Men, mm-hmm. give me Gargoyles, give me the Pirates of Dark Water.
Yeah.
You know, like, bring my show back. You know, give it a little bit of a modern twinge on the animation, but certainly not too much, mm-hmm. and just continue the story with the love that was yep. put into it from the very beginning. I'm here for it. I don't care if it is a show for kids. I will watch it right now.
There you go. Hector, pick one more out for me. What do you got?
All right. So there's a lot of games we skipped over, so I think instead of picking one, I'm going to pick yep. a bunch of little ones very quickly. I am really excited for Earth Defense Force 6. EDF is a game where tiny men shoot giant bugs that are invading the Earth. It's, I think, Serious Sam. It's a giant, like, shoot 'em up where there's some strategy. It looks fun. I love all of the games in this series, and I'm looking forward to this one. Second one, Baby Steps by Bennett Foddy. That is, if anyone knows about Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy, about a man in a cauldron with a sledgehammer trying to climb a mountain. Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. So this game, Baby Steps with Bennett Foddy, is about a man who can barely control his body and has having a very hard time walking. And he has to slowly walk up the side of a mountain while commenting about how much it sucks. It seems amazing, and I can't wait to play it. Pacific Drive. I have almost 100% committed to getting into VR this year. And one of the titles I'm most excited about playing is called Pacific Drive. And it is a game with very little in the trailers except that you were driving around in an old post-apocalyptic Volkswagen giant storm at night listening to the radio. Yes. Like, it looks so fucking cool, and I can't wait to play that game this year at some point. In VR or not, I would play it. Hellblade 2 is a mention. We hope that comes out next year. We'll never know unless it does. Silk Song, same thing. Bloodlines 2 might actually come out sometime next year.
Please.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But that's my games that I'm super hyped for next year.
All right, so I'm just going to go through a couple things and we'll wrap this whole thing up. I'm excited for Persona 3 Reloaded. I never played Persona 3. This is a remake of it. Comes out next month. Super hyped about that. I'm tentatively excited just to see what the Sony Marvel stuff that's coming out. I know it's going to be bad, but like, I'm going to go see
the Madam Web stuff.
Sure, we'll give that a shot. That'll be fun. I am highly considering trying out the new season of True Detective.
Yeah.
The trailer looks good. I'm little hopeful. The last couple seasons have been bad.
Yeah.
Tentatively also excited for the Fallout TV show.
I was going to ask if we were excited for the Fallout
TV. I'm tentatively excited.
You know what my problem is?
What's that?
I am conditioned to be unexcited for things with the name Fallout on them.
Yeah,
Bethesda did this to me. Mm-hmm. So if this show comes out and it's great, I don't have anyone to blame but myself for thinking it would be bad. Everything about the trailer...
No, I think you blame Bethesda for thinking it's bad.
Yeah, like everything about the trailer looked good. I will watch Walton Goggins read a newspaper. like anything that man does, I will watch. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm not fucking holding my breath. Because it's a Bethesda game.
Exactly.
And it's not, but it is.
But it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
For a TV show that I'm excited about, tentative about Eyes of Wakanda.
Uh-huh.
Eyes of Wakanda is going to be an anthology series where they're just going to talk about Black Panthers from throughout history. I love everything about this. Like, please dive more into the history of Wakanda
and
its people, everything about it. All right, so.
I have one more to add to yours to ask you about.
Yep.
Because you mentioned Persona 3.
Yep.
Metaphor Renforatazio.
That one
is the new title from the who makes Persona?
Atlas.
Atlas is that's their new like their studios. That's their new IP.
Oh, okay.
We saw a trailer for it, but the title but the title was obviously insane.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's
new, excited. The new Atlas game. That actually is hype.
The new Persona like it's Shin Megami Tensei Persona and this apparently. Yep.
Okay, super excited for it. Give me one more you're really excited about.
All right, I definitely have one. This is definitely... No. I'm going to do the biggest one.
Let's do it.
I'm going to end with the biggest one. I am excited for, is another tentative one, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree.
The DLC for...
For Elden Ring. If it does come out next year, and goddamn, what if it doesn't? But if it does come out next year... I will be, it'll be another season of Elden Ring, you know, it'll be me and my friends can't shut the fuck up about Elden Ring for 2 months, you know, another one of
and
those.
I will have played Elden Ring by then.
Exactly. So that will be, that's my biggest hope for 2024, Shadow of the Erdtree.
All right. The last thing that I'm going to wrap up with here
is
I'm wrapping up at the end of the year. I went to Christmas this year, as I often do. We do Christmas Eve or near Christmas Eve in my family. And, you know, we had a big dinner and we all celebrated and, you know, we all talk about how great it's to see each other and, you know, oh, we hope that it's not a year until we see each other again and all of this stuff. At that moment, I had to inform my family, there is no reality that exists that that you will have me over for Christmas if it is on December 25th.
Right.
Because we always do Christmas before the 25th. I'm expecting that we continue that tradition because on December 25th, my best friend and I are going to go see Robert Eggers' fucking Nosferatu in theaters.
Goddamn right. It releases on Christmas Day, y'all.
Like, we
and
are
I'm
doing
so
this.
So fucking here for it.
Robert
I'm so
Eggers,
here for it.
Like, the man who made The Witch, The Lighthouse, is doing Nosferatu, Willem Dafoe. Like, this, it's.
Everything you want. We saw Willem Dafoe in an incredible movie this year. Dude's everywhere.
He is
everywhere. Dude's literally everywhere.
Yes.
Cannot wait for that. It is about an entire year away. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I can't wait to tell you about it.
They are taking the original 1920s silent film. God, I could talk about this for hours because I'm such a horror buff. But if you've never studied the history of Nosferatu as a movie, it was originally obviously made in Germany. It's obviously a riff on Dracula. The Bram Stoker's estate sued to have every copy of this movie destroyed. So the images that we see, the copy that we have now, is one of the very few surviving reels. That image that you, and you know this image, you know it, where it's the vampire walking up the stairs with the big shadow behind him in the silent film, all of that. Only a few reels of that survived. And it has now been 100 years, right? It was 1920 something when this came out. 100 years later, Robert Eggers is remaking this silent film.
Yeah.
I have no words for
it. Way too cool.
Right? Yeah. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah. It's like, again, much like, a show we mentioned earlier where all the right things happened all at once to make the thing correctly. This is one of those things. Like, I can't believe, like, a long time ago, the show The Entourage made a joke about the movie and that was in development in their fantasy Hollywood that was James Cameron's Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And everyone went, God, that would be perfect. Why isn't James Cameron doing Aquaman? Like, that's this movie.
Right.
Like if someone said, oh, man, I'd love to see a Robert Eggers Nosferatu, everyone would go, why don't we have that? Why can't we have nice things? And we're going to get a nice thing for Christmas.
Right. We're going to end the year on a bang.
Yeah.
All right. What a year. That's not even everything that's coming out.
No. We have scratched the surface. There's so much that's going to come out that's going to surprise us.
Yeah, so many things. Super excited about it, though. Get hyped. Be excited. Like, it's a new year. There are good things coming this year. You deserve good things.
Yeah.
For all of you who have been listening to our show, like, thank you so much for tuning in every week. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. To our patrons, Thank you so much for being our patrons. We just bought some new equipment for the studio. We're buying some new stuff. We're, like I said in the last episode, I'm I'm getting us, I'm moving the show forward in the next year. All of us are moving the show forward, and we're going to do bigger and better things. We're coming up with new show stuff, new things to insert into the show. I'm excited for the future of the show and excited for the just doing this with my friends. I really appreciate y'all being here and being on this journey with me.
Absolutely.
And yeah, for everybody out there that's listening, we could not have done this without you. So thank you all. That's everything that we have for the show this week. Mm-hmm. Of course, head over to goodnight.gg to be a patron of our show if you're not already. That's our big hype list. We are going to be taking a few weeks off, which we often do at the beginning of the year, because that's when the news cycle slows down so that we can have a little rest and relaxation. But during that time, we are not just doing rest and relaxation. Hector and I will be recording a couple of Patreon episodes we've been meaning to catch up on. I know we're a little bit behind on those. So we're going to take a day and just really hunker down, record a bunch of those for y'all.
Yep.
We have a lot of horror stuff to go through, a lot of really good Patreon content to experience. So yeah, again, go ahead and sign up to our Patreon if you haven't done so already. But until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And happy 2024.